to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all ye families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering to the tongue of his court. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound with all that is good. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. Verses are basically the call to worship. We begin our worship services often with a call to worship. And the first three verses here are a call to worship, which is why we use this for our call to worship. We're doing here. So the call to worship is usually something that confesses something right and good about God and calls the people to recognize God, to worship God. That is the call to worship. It's fairly self-explanatory. And the call to worship is this very liturgical worship. The liturgy is the work of the people of worship. It's basically what we do in the church. And it's very liturgical worship. They have all the songs up. They're full of it. They're full of this language that is designed specifically. Praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. So right here in this room, the people who are worshiping are being called to declare and proclaim something about God to people who aren't part of the church, to all the nations. Israel is not really part of the nation. So, we're supposed to be declaring his glory among the nations. Verse 2 says, proclaim his salvation day after day. The word proclaim here is the Hebrew word basar. Particular Hebrew word. But it is an announcement of news. That's what the word is. It's the Hebrew word basar. Where we get the Greek word evangelizo, which is where we get the English word evangelism. Okay? So something about proclaiming, announcing good news, evangelizing. So it's this word, basar. And the implication within the word itself is that the announcement is new to the first appearance. It's not old hat. It's not for proclaiming. We're not proclaiming the gospel to people who've already heard it. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. So, these two sentences begin with four. This is why to worship. Four. Things of the Lord, things of the world, four. So when it says four, this is why we worship. This is why we worship. Four. Great is the Lord. For all the gods of the nations are idols. The Lord is praised, Yahweh is Lord. He is the one true God. Yahweh is Lord. That is why we worship Him. Because He is the one worthy of worship. He is the one true God. He is Lord. One God and Creator is the key to worship, and it is also the key to evangelism. So there's something about monotheism, about this idea that the God that we serve is the only God, that He is the God who is worthy to be praised, that drives us to worship Him. Because, well, Jesus is the God, He is God, and we all need to offer ourselves. But it's also the motive for evangelism. Because if there's only one God, well then, chapter 8, we have Solomon dedicating his prayer. The beginning of verse 41, it says, as for the foreigners who do not belong to your people Israel, but have come from a distant land, for they will hear of your great name and your mighty power and your outstretched arm when you come and pray for them. Then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, do whatever the foreigners ask of you, so that all the peoples of the earth can know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and you know that the south side of the earth is there. Israel's message to the Gentiles, or called the Lord's Israel, wider than Israel, addressed to the Gentiles. Now, Israel's message to the Gentiles, because this is now the Lord's message. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. So tell people who don't believe that way, that the Lord reigns. Establish and not remove. He will judge the people with equity, and then later on at the end of verse 13, he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world and righteousness and the people in the faith. So the two pieces of Israel's message to the Gentiles are that the Lord reigns and that he judges with equity. That has verse 7. And righteousness and faithfulness. And the people have come to hear the good news of God. We give them, okay, the Lord reigns, that is, that he is the Lord above all, he is the Lord God, the Lord of God, and that he judges. But the reality 2. All creation worship. Twice. Psalm. And it's somewhat unique. You know, not very many psalms focus on evangelism or sort of a combination of other things. Ultimately, just take place. To a few ideas. Throughout my life in different places and times. But I've been in the same places where I feel like to invite somebody